Welcome to First Light Church. Today's sermon is The Four F's.
Well, let's look at the slide this morning. As you know that in 2018, you know, God has decreed for us First Light. It's a year of, new beginnings. Everyone say together, the year of new beginnings. With conviction this time. The year of new beginnings. How many of you have been sensing a new beginning really started for you? Right, some of you are still trying to catch up, right? Right, new beginning has started, and a new beginning is good. A new beginning is not just about career changes or moving to a new place or having a new experience. A new beginning begins about our relationship with God. What we know about God so far, what have we gained through our relationship with God over the years as a believer, ask God again, like, Lord, I want to know you much more than what I know about you already. Amen. And God will take those prayers seriously. God will reveal himself to us in a very clear sense. And this year, as I said, that there's an underlying theme that throughout our whole sermons is about the Avoda life, a seamless life of worship, work, and service. By this time, I think Avoda is something ingrained into our First Light culture already. But God himself has decreed, God himself has given us this revelation. Using just one word to describe worship, one word to describe our work, and one word to describe service, and that word is avoda. As I say, this word, this Hebrew word, is a homonym. Homonyms means a word with many meaning. And so for God, he's giving us a revelation that how our life, in terms of worship, work, and service, is not to be compartmentalized. It's not about trying to live a balanced life. As I said last week, many of us attempted to live a balanced life, and often than not, we can't find the balance. Isn't it true? Right, especially work life and family life. Many times we compromise most of the time our family life over our work life. And many times, you know, as I say, we feel guilty. When we are at work, we think about playing. When we are playing, we think about working. Now, we live that kind of conflicted life because we are taught by so-called good management style is how we should balance our life, putting priorities. And you realize many times when we talk about putting priorities, some of the things we put priorities in are not actually things of priority. You agree? Right. I don't need to name those stuff, but you know what I mean. There are things we know is not our priorities. But the avoda life is where God says about how we live an integrated life. A life where faith is demonstrated through our worship. But faith is also demonstrated through our work. Right? Remember when we talked about Empower to Influence a couple of years ago, we did this course together as a church. About Empower to Influence is that we must begin to understand when we go into the workforce, when we are in the marketplace, right? Worship is being the best staff there is, isn't it? Worship is to God, is us being excellent in what we are doing. And so we may begin to understand, worship doesn't just begin on Sunday and end on Sunday. Also, for some believers, they think worship is what happens on Sunday, work is what happened on Monday, and service is whatever spare time you have left. And often than not, we compromise service in the midst of everything else. But if we understand how, where we worship God, when we become a what call a good worker in a workforce, in a marketplace, that is also worshiping. When we learn to serve people, especially when we serve people who can't return back to us, that is also worship of God. Amen. So here is that flow that God wants us to have. And I talk about the importance of us having a life verse. How many of you have found your life verse already? Okay, only two of us, right? The rest of you. It's good to find your life verse because it's something I've been talking about also for the past few Sundays. And last week I talked about the power of finding your life verse. Your life verse, okay, it's good to read the whole scripture. It's good to search scripture and meditate on portions of passages of scripture. I know of my own walk with the Lord, there were times that I sat on just on one verse or one chapter for a few months. Because there are so much things that can come up from that one verse or come up from that one passage where God wants me to sit and rest in it. Now, don't rush through the scripture. It's good to read through the Bible once a year. I also often tell people it's a good exercise to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation once a year to refresh yourself. But most important is also that you find your life verse. And some of you may say, but Pastor, how do I find my life verse? Well, start from Genesis right to Revelation. You will find a life verse. A life verse is a verse that lip up to you. A life verse is something that catch on into your heart, into your spirit. It's like a rhema word of God. Now, to others, it's just a verse. But to you, it's something that determines where God is leading you and where God is pointing you to the next steps that you need to take in life. And it's also important for you to find a verse for this year. God, what are you trying to tell me for this year? What new challenges is lying ahead of me? I do not know. But I know that, Father, there's something your word will prepare me. There's something about where you want to lead me and guide me that I will grow from grace to grace, from truth to truth. Hallelujah. Now, a lot of these times is that when we talk about the Avoda life, why is it important? The Avoda life is to learn to see life as God sees it. Right? The Avoda life is to learn to live life as God sees it. Right? And let me give you a statement to begin with, as I go through our sermon this morning. To live a sinless life of worship, work, and service, you must learn to see life the way God sees it. Agree? Agree. Very good. You don't agree, you also have to agree. But it's good to agree. Then the rest of the sermon makes sense. If you don't see life the way God sees it, you won't act the way God wants you to act. True? True. When you are able to see life through the lens of the gospel and in the light of God's grace, the Avoda life is not about, it's not only possible, it is also within reach. Many of us live life by our own personal goals and objectives. Many of us live our life by our time management. Many of us live our life by our priorities. They are not wrong. Okay? This is how we live life. But if we want to catch hold of the Avoda life, the critical thing is what I'm saying here is when you are able to see life through the lens of the gospel. Amen? You must see life through the lens of the gospel and in the light of God's grace. The word and the spirit must come together. Scripture and spirit must come together so that there is a sense of momentum as we so-called live the Avoda life. So don't try to live life apart from the gospel. That's what I'm trying to say to you guys. Don't try to live life apart from the grace of God. Very simple. And only when we learn to see life through the lens of the gospel, who am I? Why am I here? What is God's purpose for me? All this has to do with your relationship with the Father as well. That's why when Peter saw Jesus, when Peter confessed to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus then revealed to him, "You are Peter." When Peter was able to catch on to who Jesus is, Peter caught hold of who he is to God. Amen. You cannot answer the most mysterious question of life until you know who your Father is. You can never pursue your purpose. You can never pursue what is in your heart until you know what God or how or who God has created you to be in Him. Right? Passion is not enough. Do you agree? Right? Passion must be accompanied by strength. Strength is what we call talent, ability. Having passion is one part of the equation, but you need both passion and strength. When you know who God makes you to be, what abilities you have through Christ, that is your strength. And when you combine passion and strength, then that it begins your first step of other life. You know, if you ever watch Australian Idol or X Factor, but I don't watch them, right? I glimpse once in a while. Everyone who appears to the judges have passion, but not everyone has strength. Right? And so when they say, "Come, sing us a song," sing, and they believe they are the next Beyonce. They think they are next Taylor Swift. And when they begin to sing, they go out of tune. Of course, we are laughing. Why this kind of people will just come and sing and they can't catch or hold on to a tune? And so the judges say, "I'm sorry, we can't let you come in." And they get so angry. "Oh, you're going to regret this. Where I'm going to sell my million record. I will never let you come to my concert." See, these people have passion, but they don't have strength. In our life, we need passion and strength. And passion and strength is only when you and I learn to see our life through the lens of the gospel and in the light of God's grace. Amen? Are we learning so far? Now, I want to title my sermon this morning called the 4 F's. Okay, F's doesn't mean you failed. But there's four things most of us will respond, or there's four ways we respond to life. Or I can say four reactions when things happen to us. If I want to live the avoda life, if I want to live my life in the light of the gospel and the light of God's grace, then I must begin to see where am I. If you watch enough David Attenborough's documentary, he often said, nature gives every creature two basic instincts where they are confronted by danger. Anyone of you know what the two basic instincts? Fight or flight, right? So this is my first one, fight. Fight or flight has to do with control. It's how you want to control a situation. When you fight, it's because you want to retaliate. You want to fight back. You want to seize control of something that seems to be out of control. When you flight, means when you run away, it's also a kind of control. It's because you are wanting to change your circumstances. And so here is a character called Peter. Peter is a picture or a type of Christian. Okay? Which some of us can fall in that category. But let's look at Peter's life. Look at how Peter and Jesus, that dynamic they have. Both of them were exposed to the same circumstances, but both of them responded differently. Right? Both of them were exposed to the same situation of life, but see how they respond differently. For Peter, remember on the night Jesus was betrayed, Judas came and kissed Jesus on the cheek, and then the soldier came to arrest Jesus. Remember that scene? And how Peter, right, was full of bravado. He took out his knife and sliced off the right ear of one of the Herod's servant, right? The Caiaphas servant. So he's look at Luke 22, verse 50 to 51. He says, then one of the disciples swung his sword at the high priest's servant and slashed off his right ear. John told us, now it was Peter. Luke was very kind. Luke doesn't want to mention who the person was, but John slipped it in. It was Peter. Right? If you read through the life of John and Peter, you can also see there is a kind of interesting relationship they have, which I'll explain to you later. But at this point, it was this. And Jesus stopped the incident from escalating any further by shouting, stop! That's enough of this! Then he touched the right side of the injured man's head, and the ear grew back. He was healed. Same incidents. When people came to arrest Jesus, one fight, but the other one responded calmly. I think Jesus is showing us the mastery of the avoda life. Why do we fight? We fight because we are afraid of being vulnerable. Our fear of vulnerability will often cause us to retaliate. But Jesus showed us, instead of fighting back, he remained calm. And not only he remained calm, imagine for a moment, this guy's ears were sliced off. His name was called Malchus. And Malchus' name actually means king. So this king who lost his right ear is bleeding. And just imagine he's in excruciating pain. And Jesus saying, stop this. To Peter, bend down, pick out his right ear. Perhaps, I don't know, put it back. Or he just touched it, it grew a new ear. I don't know. But here you see a king touching another king. Malchus is a typology of a Christian as well. We are all called kings and priests in Jesus Christ. Amen. And sometimes we can lose something about ourselves that only Jesus can restore. Jesus did something for so-called an enemy, someone who come against him. But Jesus is teaching us the avoda life is not the ability just to love your neighbor, but also love the one who persecute you. That's why Jesus said, love your enemies as well. But Peter, of course, you know, according to Mr. David Attenborough, first instinct of nature, fight. And you can't fight, what do? Flight. And this, again, you can see in Mark chapter 14, verse 50 to 52. At that point, all of his disciples ran away and abandoned him. These were his closest friends. These were his mates who had been with him for 3.5 years. These were people Jesus could rely on. And they're the one who say, no, even Peter himself say, Master, everyone will run away from you, but I will not run. But the moment he sliced off the ear of Malchus, Peter ran off. But then there's an interesting verse there. It says, there was also a young man there following Jesus, wearing only a linen sheet wrapped around him. They tried to arrest him also, but he slipped from their grasp and ran off naked, leaving his linen cloth in their hands. So there was a guy who went in a white tower, seeing what happened. He was also following Jesus, but the moment everyone ran, he also ran. Who is this guy? None other than Mr. John Mark himself. Because he's the only one who mentioned in his gospel about this man. And so John slipped himself in. I was the man. And we know John Mark, he's forever running away. Until one day God has to bring him back, right? How he ran away from Barnabas and Paul in the first mission journey. But here was the situation. There are times we say we love Jesus. There are times we say, Lord, you are so wonderful. You are so beautiful. We can sing and declare, Lord, you are Lord of all. But when things do not turn up the way you want it to be, do you then run away? Do we take flight from what we believe in God, of who He is, when things did not turn up right? I remember there was once in my life I was going through a critical crisis, and I was struggling, I was worrying, I was concerned, and I was telling the Lord, Lord, where are you? I'm struggling here. I don't seem to be having an answer to this situation. Then God spoke to me. I must tell you, when God rebuked us, it's very beautiful. Right? When He rebuked us, it's never to discourage us or to crush our spirit. Even if His rebuke comes strong, it's always very restorative. So at that time, I was filled with anguish. I was struggling. Here is a father talking to me in my spirit. He said, he was laughing actually. He says, son, you are worrying as if I don't exist. I said, wow. You are worrying as if I don't exist. Then I say, so you want me to worry as if you exist? He say, try that for once. Try worrying, believing I exist. And see what will happen to your worries. It was a rebuke. But do you not agree? It's restorative. Come by me again one more time, Father. I miss it. Don't worry as if I don't exist. Worry knowing I exist and see what will happen to your worries. Now, sometimes we worry. We tell people, don't worry, don't worry. People will worry. Let them worry. But help them to worry believing that God exists. And when you worry believing God exists, you will never take flight. You will never run away. You won't be like a Jonah who ran away. But you always come back to the posture of, Lord, come by me one more time. That I didn't take flight because I'm faced with a circumstance in my life that I can't change. Or this thing is crushing my spirit. All you're telling me is I must worry believing you exist. And because He lives, you also live. But in this part, we notice another thing in Luke 22, 54, 55. The religious leader sees Jesus and led him away, but Peter followed from a safe distance. They brought him to the home of the high priest where people were already gathered out in the courtyard. Someone had built a fire, so Peter inched closer and sat down among them to stay warm. I like Peter. He ran, but he came back. He took flight. People take flight is because they are afraid to step up to something more. Sometimes if I'm going through a struggle in my life, or sometimes God is challenging me to grow, I rather take flight because I don't want to step up to something much more. You agree? But God wants to grow our faith. See, God is not trying to God is not here to punish us, but God is always working to train us. You agree? If God is trying to train me, and I know He's training me to have patience or to have kindness, to have strength, to have faith, to have something, right? He's training me for something. And when I do not want to let Him train me, I'll take flight because of my fear of stepping up. But Jesus was never afraid of stepping up. In fact, He stepped into a situation calmly. He went, He was arrested, He did not resist those who came to arrest Him. But here was Peter, hiding in the shadows of the night, trying to find out what's happening to Jesus. And then what happened? A girl noticed Peter sitting in the firelight. Standing at him, he pointed out and said, "This man is one of Jesus' disciples." Peter flatly denied it. "What are you talking about, girl? I don't know him." Right. Next. A little while later, someone else spotted Peter and said, "I recognize you. You are one of his. I know it." Peter again said, "I'm not one of his disciples." Have you ever gone through a struggle in life and people say, "I thought you're a Christian? I thought you believe in God. I thought you know God best." And sometimes in the midst of everything, because of your situation, you're embarrassed, you're struggling, you do not know what to say. "I don't think I know God that well. Or I'm not sure right now." Peter was there, but Peter emotionally was taking flight. Then came the third time. About an hour later, someone else identified Peter and insisted that he was a disciple of Jesus, saying, "Look at him. He's from Galilee, just like Jesus. I know he's one of them." Now, how did he know he was Galilee? Because Peter spoke with a northern accent. Okay, northern accent is a bit like Cockney, right? Very strange way of speaking Aramaic. And they could identify him. And Peter was adamant. Please underline in your Bible or highlight in your iPad, adamant. This is called really taking flight. "Listen, I don't know what you are talking about. Don't you understand? I don't even know him." When the words were still in his mouth, the rooster crowed. Remember Jesus' prophecy to him? Just the night before. "Master, everyone will run away from you, but not me. I will stay faithful." And Jesus told him, "Before the rooster crow twice, you will deny me three times." Imagine if you have a revelation in life from God. God says to you, "Jonah, you will fail." Sometimes we want to go prophetic words, like we see prophetic words. Every prophecy is very encouraging, thank God. New Testament prophecy is very encouraging. But imagine God said to you, "You will fail." "No, I won't fail. No, I won't fail. I won't fail." Then you fail. What does it talk about your relationship with God? Peter relied on his own strength to pursue the Lord. But people, the Christian life cannot be lived by our own strength. You can make time to read your Bible, right? You can set time to serve the Lord. It's good. But do you believe reading the Bible, serving God, still cannot rely on your own strength? You can create a space for God to work in your life. You can create a space and time for God to use you. But no matter how He's going to use you, no matter how you're going to serve Him, it still cannot, it cannot rest on your own strength. And Jesus told him, if you're going to rely on your loyalty to me, it will not work. There's so much more about you, Peter, I'm calling you up for. Then what happened? At that moment, the Lord, who was being led through the courtyard by his captors, turned around and gazed at Peter. All at once, Peter remembered the words Jesus had prophesied over him. Before the rooster crows in the morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. Peter burst into tears, ran off from the crowd, and wept bitterly. He was adamant. Don't you understand? I don't even know him. And you must imagine the scene. Here was Jesus in his chain looking at Peter. And Peter looked at Jesus. I don't think Jesus looked at him to spite him or look at him to humiliate him. But see, Peter, it's all about how we respond to life. It's how we react to life. I am chained because I submit to my Father's purpose. You take flight because it shows you have not yet understand the dynamic of my relationship with you. So the first F is fight. The second F is flight. And these two F talks about how sometimes we have not yet really understand what this relationship with God is all about. And when we don't see life the way God sees it, it is impossible to live the other life. But when we begin to see life in the way as revealed in the light of the gospel, in the light of God's grace, the other life is not only possible, but it is also within reach. Now come to the third F. Freeze. Freeze here is it's about also controlling. Remember I say fight is try to control your circumstances by retaliation. Because you're afraid to be vulnerable, you fight back. Flight is you trying to control by changing your environment. I don't like that situation. I'm running away. It is by fight. Flight is about by isolation. To freeze is about also controlling. Because things did not work out the way I want it to work out, I choose to escape. I choose to deny. I choose to numb myself. Because things has become too difficult in life. And of course, people can numb themselves by substance abusers. People can numb themselves by escaping into Netflix, into TV land, into all kinds of activity. Why do people freeze? It's because they are afraid of surrendering themselves entirely to God. They worry about if they're going to start, will they fail? That's why many of us never start anything in life. I've been around long enough to hear many people have many dreams. People have dreams in their life, but we ask them, how come you never pursue your dream? They always tell me, I don't have time. But you press it on further, they will say, I might fail. And I often encourage people, don't you think it's better to start something? But at the end of the day, you may not work out the way you want it to be, but aren't you glad you did something than doing nothing? And 9 out of 10 will tell me they'd rather not start it at all if there's no guaranteed success. But sometimes I will say, but can't you see those dreams are from God? And perhaps if it is from God, surely He will give you success. But even if you fail, will you not then see yourself you did obey those dreams God has planted in you. But most people will still say, freeze. This is Mr. Peter again. And this is after Jesus rose on the dead. And John 21 opened for us. Later, Jesus appeared once again to a group of his disciples by Lake Galilee. It happened one day while Peter, Thomas, the twins, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Jacob, John, and two other disciples was all together. Peter told them, I'm going fishing. And they all replied, well, we'll go with you. So they went out and fished through the night, but caught nothing. Now, when Peter talked about, I'm going fishing, it's not like any one of us guys, like Alan, go say, okay, I'm going fishing, I'm taking a rod, go out to the jetty. The Greek word suggests, I'm going fishing means, I'm going back to my old life. I'm going back to being how it was before I knew Jesus Christ. And sometimes among us, have you ever said that? Life was good until I know Jesus Christ. Everything was calm. Everything was all right. But the day I knew Jesus Christ, everything went topsy-turvy. Maybe not in first light. But surely you meet people who will say that to you, right? Life was okay until I know Jesus Christ. And this was Peter. I'm going back to my old life. I'm going back to what I always knew was my comfort zone. I want to go back to what I'm very familiar with. I'm going back to something that I know I can't fail. He has forgotten how Jesus has called him. Follow me and I'll make you fisher of men. If you pursue after me, God will see you through the situation. If those who follow me, he give up everything, I will return to them 100-fold. And Peter himself say, wow, Lord, we left everything to follow you. But being discouraged by fight, by flight, now Peter frees. At this time, his favorite movie is Frozen. He just stuck, cannot move anymore. And the rest of his brothers say, we go with you. But they caught nothing. You may be fruitful about something in your past because God made you fruitful. But when the season has come to change, you have to change. Because you try to attempt to go back to that season of fruitfulness where God has not ordained it, you will catch nothing. You agree? There could be a time you are so fruitful because God's hand was in it. But when God's hand is no longer in those things, don't get busy for God because it will not produce fruits. Sometimes in our Christian life, I think most time we are doing a lot of things God has not ordained us. Even those are good things. But to live the Avada life is to pursue that momentum that God has set for us, that we pursue after it. And then Jesus, of course, told them, you know, throw your net on the right side, and they caught 153 fish, right? And then we know how Peter saw Jesus. He ran in and ran and jumped into the water, and then Jesus fed them a good breakfast. After they have their happy meal together, Jesus talked to Peter. He says, Simon, son of John, do you burn with love for me more than this? You must understand why burn with love. Most of us, you read New King James, do you love me more than this, right? But you remember, Jesus and Peter were from Galilee. They do not speak Hebrew, they speak Aramaic. And the word love is the same word for, is an Aramaic word called huba. And huba means burning with passion. Here is Jesus working with Peter. Peter denied Jesus three times. And Jesus is reinstating Peter three times. Calling him back. Do you burn with love for me more than this? This, more than this, Jesus was referring, right, according to the Greek text, to all his fishing equipment. So Jesus is saying, Peter, do you burn with love for me? Is your love for me more than your love for your own life? Is our relationship has come to a point you prefer to choose your own life than continue with this life I have for you? Do you burn with love for me more than all your fishing equipment? And Peter answered, Lord, yes, Lord, you know that I have great affection for you. Then Jesus replied, take care of my lambs. When Jesus, you read in Greek, he said, Jesus said, do you agape me? Agapeo me. Peter replied, I phileo you. Agape means unconditionally loving me. Phileo means I only love you as a friend. Peter is biting his lips or biting his tongue because he knew how cocky he was, swearing that he will pursue Jesus even everyone run away from him. But now he said, Lord, I won't dare to say I'm going to serve you throughout the days of my life. But right now, let's see how it goes in a relationship. Now, sometimes we think we are disappointed God so much that God can never use us anymore. Have you ever such thought? Wow, me alone. But sometimes we mess up so badly. And we're just so glad that we are still safe. But we're not going to try anything great for God anymore. No way, no way, Jose, no way. I'll just come, I'll hide myself in first light. You know, in the corner. Okay, tell you guys, in the next church we ever have, it's not going to be a corner church, it's going to be overshaped. So there's no corner. You can hide. Right? But I'm just saying this, is that we think that I mess up so badly, God can never use me anymore. I'm going to hide myself in the corner. I'm just glad I get to heaven. I think it's at this point, you realize, Jesus, about when Peter froze or take the stand of freeze, Jesus, instead of giving up, he reached out. Maybe right now you are in that corner, you are sulking away, you are afraid to commit to anything because of past failures. The Lord never gave up on you. He's still reaching out. Second time he says, Jesus repeated his question a second time. Simon, son of John, do you burn with love for me? Peter answered, yes, my Lord, you know that I have great affection for you. Then take care of my sheep. First, it starts with lambs. Lambs are the younglings of the sheep. Right? Now he says, now you take care of the sheep. Jesus is like promoting him, you know. Right? So maybe Jesus is telling Serene, now you take care of TBC. The young ones, oh. And she say, okay, okay. But now not TBC. One day I want you to take care of something much more. Oh. Imagine for a moment, you haven't recovered. You are still frightened to commit. Jesus start with sheep, with lambs. Now he talk about sheep. Imagine here you are in a freeze mode. Jesus say, hey, come, follow me. One day you go to nation. One day you do great and mighty things for me. He say, you got to be kidding. I don't even dare to step out of my house. You telling me about me impacting nation? Prophecy is very double-edged, isn't it? It can inspire you. It also can frighten you. You like to hear this inspiring words of prophecy. But when you sit down and think of the logistic, oh, you say, better not. Don't know where to start. Then Jesus said to him the third time, Peter, son of John, do you have great affection for me? First, he asked Peter twice, do you love me? Do you agapeo me? But all Peter could say, I only fail you. I only can do it with my strength. I like Jesus. He brings himself to that level. Okay, Peter, let's start with what you have right now. Okay, let's not start with something, a tall order right now. Let's start with what you have. Okay, you like me. You like me. You filial me. Right? Can we have this relationship? Peter was saddened by being asked the third time and said, "My Lord, you know everything. You know that I burned with love for you." Peter was saddened because he knew he had disappointed God, but he was saddened he could not confess as he used to confess. And Jesus called out to him, "If you cannot love me, can you at least you like me?" And Peter was saddened. He was cornered. He came to the point, "Lord, you know everything. Actually, I'm still burning with love for you." You can sense the emotion. The emotion here is Peter has burned so much of his bridges, he felt there was no way of coming back. He was still fearful of disappointment. And many of us could be at that point that you and I know in our hearts we have so much burning desire for God. But perhaps of the past failure, you just want to hold back because you're afraid to start. What did Jesus say to Peter? "Then feed my lamb." Then Jesus went on. We have a great prophecy. This is Peter's life verse now. Jesus now gives Peter a life verse. "Peter, listen." Turn to your neighbor, listen. Listen, okay? Listen. That's why I say it's important to have a life verse. Why? This is what Jesus is telling him. "Peter, listen. When you were younger, you made your own choices and you went where you pleased." So he said, "You fight, you flight, you freeze." "But now, one day, when you are old, others will tie you up and escort you where you would not choose to go. And you will spread out your arms." How many of you say this is the most encouraging life verse? Of course, we all know Jesus was prophesying one day Peter will die on the cross himself. How he will live a life being persecuted at the end. A life verse like this is not encouraging to you because you're not Peter. But if you are Peter, if you listen, you welcome it. Because there is one thing now for Peter's life was to focus. And this is what Jesus said to Peter as a prophecy of what kind of death he will die for the glory of God. Peter understood. That life verse is for me now to live for the glory of God. Then Jesus said, "Peter, follow me." Full circle, isn't it? How when he started as a disciple, "Peter, follow me." After he messed up, after everything has done and been said, "Peter, follow me." All I can say is, people, with God is always plan A. He never changes his plan he has for our life. Hallelujah. Isn't it great? Even though we can mess up, even though we feel we're disappointed God, even we think we can never ever recover, with God, it is always plan A. Now, don't you think this is a very beautiful moment between Peter and Jesus? It's so beautiful. And here was Jesus prophesying over Peter. "Now you do not you, when you're young, you go wherever you want to go. But now if you grow old, you go places you don't want to go. But any which way, Peter, you understand this is for the glory of God. Peter, follow me." What do you think Peter was doing at this time? He raised his hand. "Here I bow down to worship." He sang a song and praise. What was Peter doing? His eyes was looking somewhere else. Then Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. So when Peter saw him, he said, well, what's going to happen to him? Here was the most critical spiritual encounter you have with God. Here is God telling you, this is what I want of you in your life. What about Anton? You get that? Peter is being Peter. The most critical prophetic word ever uttered to him. What about John? Then Jesus replied, if I decide to let him live until I return, what concern is that of yours? You must still keep on following me. Sometimes in our Christian life, we look at other people as our standard. I'll be faithful if Marilyn is faithful. I'll be hopeful if Clement is hopeful. I'll be joyful if Auntie Dot is joyful. But if I don't see joy in their life, they are not hopeful or faithful, then why should I do something about it? You get what I'm trying to say? Our Christian life cannot be one that we compare with others. It's always an intimacy between you and God. You just keep on following. Don't worry about how other people, how they're going to follow God or they don't follow God. It's really none of our business in that sense. Of course, we care for them, right, in the context. But in the right context of everything, we, as what Jesus say, you just keep on following me. Don't let me, Peter, receive a prophetic word. How about John? Peter is that busybody. But you can see there's a recovery here, which comes to the last respond, free. Fight is about controlling our circumstances by fighting back. Flight is trying to control our circumstances by not being in it, by running away. Freeze is to control our situation of life by numbing ourselves. We don't want to go further because the hurt is so bad, it's no point anymore. But remember, the other life is to see life in the light of the gospel, in the light of God's grace. Don't fight. Don't flight, no freeze, but be free. Years later, here is Peter. He was arrested. Next day, he was going on trial. Acts chapter 12. The night before Herod planned to bring him to trial, he made sure that Peter was securely bound with two chains. Peter was sound asleep between the two soldiers with additional guards stationed outside his cell door, when all at once, an angel of the Lord appeared, filling his prison cell with a brilliant light. If Peter ever joined a football team, his t-shirt number will be number 3. He was caught 3 times by Jesus Christ. He denied Jesus Christ 3 times. Jesus restored him 3 times. This is his 3rd time in prison also. He already escaped twice. Do you think he's going to escape the 3rd time? Yes. 3 is his favorite number, man. Right? And here was the angel appeared to him. What was Peter? Peter was asleep. The angel struck Peter on the side to awaken him. This is the only account an angel ever slept a man. Psh. Peter no longer fight. He did not take flight. Neither did he freeze. He was free. He slept. He knew tomorrow he was going to die. He said, oh, this must be the fulfillment of my life verse. Tomorrow I'm going to die. It's for God's glory. Wow, I can't wait for it. If I'm going to die, I must have a good night's sleep then. Psh, wake up. Hurry up. Let's go. Instantly, the chains fell off his wrist. The angel told him, get dressed. Wow, this guy is... Put on the sandals, bring your cloak, and follow me. Peter quickly left the cell and followed the angel, even though he thought it was only a dream or a vision, for it seemed unreal. He couldn't believe it was really happening. When God is going to fulfill your life verse, you may think it was a dream or a vision or something so unreal. When God promised you, when He brings things into fruition, I thank you. You can't believe it's happening. God will open door where no man can close. Even you think it's impossible, if you live in the momentum of other life and live your life in the light of the gospel, in the light of God's grace, what is closed can be open. And what is open can be closed if you trust the timing of God. And this was the last time Peter was ever mentioned in Acts of the Apostle. He made his great escape. Years later, Peter met John Mark. Right? Then he must tease John Mark. Remember, that night Jesus was arrested, you were running around naked in the garden. Also same for me. I was also naked in the cell. Then the angel tell me to dress up to escape. Now let's write my two letters. If you really want to read about Peter's freedom, you must read his two letters. But what he said makes sense if you read 2 Peter 1:10 to 11. My brothers and sisters, God called you and chose you to be His. Do your best to live in a way that shows you really are God's called and chosen people. If you do all this, you will never fall. This was a man who fell many times. But finally, he understood the beauty of the other life, the seamless life of worship, work, and service. All he has to do was to know he was chosen and called by God. And having that relationship. In fact, if you read the 2 Peter, the beginning point, verse 9, it says, how is about life is just knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. The blessing of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ will keep us from falling. Peter learned to be like Jesus. Instead of fighting, he became calm. Instead of running away, he stepped up to his purpose. Instead of freeze, he fully realized he needed God to see him through. And now, at this stage of his life, the Avada life is a freedom that he has. That he did not live just for the moment. He lived life with a future understanding. In verse 11, it says, and you will be given a very great welcome into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a kingdom that never ends. Hallelujah. So the Avada life is not just living life today, but this is a life that leads you to your tomorrows, into your future, into the hands of God. I like this closing part, he says. You already know all these things. You are very strong in the truth you have, but I'm always going to help you remember them. While I'm still living here on earth, I think it is right for me to remind you of them. I know that I must soon leave this body. Our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that. I will try my best to make sure you remember these things even after I'm gone. Man, this guy lived up to his life verse. I always imagine every time he comes to a critical point, is this Lord? Am I going to die now for your glory? But he didn't. He lived for another 30 more years. But he said, now I know my time is coming. And the only one thing to do is to remind the believers. To remind the believers. To remind the believers. To remind the believers that God will see them through in every situation. The freedom they have in Jesus Christ. Trying to live the balanced life, many of us have failed. Try to live life by our own priorities, by our own purpose, we have failed. Many times when we pursue things is not of God, we're not failed, we have also failed in a very hard way. But what Peter is telling us right now is, it's all about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus will reveal the time in life we are fighting. He will also reveal to us the time we are flying, we take flight. The time we just want to give up. Jesus is not just with us only when we had a freedom in Him. He's with us in all circumstances. He only had one purpose. It's to help us live life seamlessly in the light of the gospel, in the light of God's grace. How many of us are blessed this morning? Come on, people, let's stand up. Let's just offer to God one more time.